Louis. Him. He's also an atheist from the US. I don't know what state. And the question is, do we have justifications to say that humans should have certain moral positions? All right.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Hey,
Howdy. Yep.
yeah, how are you doing, Luis?
I'm doing great. Yeah. So that last call was really interesting. I did miss some of it because I was in the queue and speaking to the interviewee or interviewer. So my question has to do with whether we can have like a justification to say that humans should have a particular grounding for human morality, and if not, can it be reasonable to say that one grounding is like more reasonable to have than another grounding?
I mean, I think that anything based on archaic religious doctrine is not reasonable. And then personally, I hear like kind of utilitarian stuff, and I'm like, well, that seems the most reasonable to me. I'm not like a super philosophy guy, so I kind of don't like revel in these arguments too much. But to me, like murdering people, it's hard for me to wrap my head around a system of morality that wouldn't find that abhorrent, right? And then you just extend that, just whatever harms people a lot is should be universally agreed upon to be immoral. Obviously there's gonna be a lot of gray area that comes out of that, but I don't know. That's as simple as I can put it, I think.
Yeah, for me,
What about
I
your
guess I'll
caucus?
answer the question as well. Yeah, thanks. So I think that I don't know, the justification I can see for humans holding specific moral values is that we all want what is best for ourselves, right? And in wanting what is best for ourselves, we often want the same for others, for the people that we love, for the people that we care about. And that can extend not to just our immediate, bubble of like your kids, your parents, and your partner. It extends to other people, because we have brain chemicals that make us care about others for whatever reason, right? And I don't know. I think that's the justification that we can have, wanting better for other human beings, and because other human beings having good lives will in turn mean we are having good lives.
Yeah, I think both of those are fair conclusions. And you talked about harm. And I think that actually, because it also ties into what I thought the previous caller from India, who had made some really interesting points, I think that kind of ties into what he was saying about sentience, right? Because harm, right? I think that harm, one has to be a sentient organism to experience, like, have these subjective experiences of harm. And so, do you think that we could say that sentience may be a reasonable grounding, or maybe the most reasonable grounding for how we assess whether a behavior that we have is like moral or not? Because
Yeah.
sentient beings can experience harm.
I think so, because I mean let's take it all the way to the basal level. We all murder billions of bacteria every single day. Every time you wash your hands, you're killing bacteria. Nobody thinks twice about it, even super religious people who wouldn't hurt a fly, right? We're all murdering microorganisms constantly. They're alive, you know what I mean? And then start going up the ladder, most of us would, I think some people might not kill a fly, but most of us would kill a fly without thinking twice about it, or a small spider or something. And then we get to the point, most of us would agree that, murdering people obviously is not good, but then even a dog or a horse or something, it's not cool to do that. So we're clearly delineating a spectrum of sentience, I think is probably the right word to describe it.
Yeah, I think so too. And yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, well, no, I was going to say that there is, I've had really great conversations with this other content creator, Richard Jelliver, and he's a philosopher and loves to talk about consciousness. And we both really enjoy having these conversations. And we've talked about animal consciousness and what it means to be a sentient being. And earlier during the vegan conversation, we were talking about different levels of sentience. And I think it's really, it would be really, really important to have people who understand animal brains and the way that they experience the world in the conversations about consciousness, because it will definitely help us. Consciousness and sentience are just, it's a very, very, very similar conversation that you're going to end up having. And humans can't understand what it's like to be a bat. We just can't. And a bat more than likely cannot understand what it's like to be a human. So until we study all of these things, we're always going to come up with the question, well, at what level do we consider the harm that we are causing this animal? Is it the same level of harm that we are causing a human being, that we are causing a, I don't know, a fungus or a bacteria? Right? Like, where is that line mm-hmm. that we are going to draw of consciousness and sentience? And yeah.
Yeah, no, those are great points, actually. And I think that, of course, you probably would agree with me that living doesn't necessarily equal sentient, right? Because, you know, there's living organisms that don't display what I think that any of us would recognize as sentience, right? You described like bacteria and stuff like that. And I think we could probably all agree on that. Now, there are two models of like assessing whether organisms are sentient. I'm not entirely familiar with them. I know there's other people who are more familiar with those two different models. But, you know, I don't think we necessarily need like experts to necessarily determine, you know, like who may or may not be sentient. And when I say who, I'm talking about any organism that, you know, that exhibits characteristics like humans, that where we would say that a human is sentient. And so I think that we can make these assessments ourselves in general. And I think it's important, right? Because in our daily activities, we may actually be causing like unjustified harm or needless harm to individuals or beings who are sentient, and, you know, when we don't necessarily have to, right? And so I think it's important that even if we don't have experts to discuss these things, that we should have these discussions amongst ourselves anyway, because, you know, at the end of every fork, you know, of animal flesh, there's a victim at the end of them, at the end of that fork.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I completely mm-hmm. agree. And I think this is why I myself continue to have these conversations. I see Chase Avier is in the chat, and he's a great vegan activist, and he's been on my show before. We talk about this topic. And so I do think awareness is the most important thing we can do. Just talk about it. Even if it doesn't convert the next person to you, it's just you're just talking about it.
I think it's the main criterion is behavioral complexity, right? Does an organism display emotional states? I mean, it's like if you go look at a bacterium engaging in like chemotaxis, right? It moves in a direction. This is a very rigidly mechanistic thing, right? The nutrient mm-hmm. interacts mm-hmm. with a receptor, and that causes the flagellum to rotate. So it's totally blind, right? And I think that there you yep. can look at a like a grasshopper or something like that in kind of the same way. It's obviously dramatically more complex. It's a multicellular organism, but I don't think that grasshopper is thinking thoughts. You know what I mean? But a dog definitely is thinking thoughts. A cow is too, a horse is too, a whale is. It's the complexity of behavior, the unpredictability of behavior, because it's based on some kind of cognizance and reflection and decision making and things like that. I think that's probably the main criterion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think that I agree. I think that emotions does. I think that's one indicator that we can look at this to say whether an organism likely has sentience or not. Now, of course, the other issue with that is that are we doing our best to observe, you know, let's say grasshopper, you took an example of a grasshopper, like, I don't know if a grasshopper is sentient. It certainly seems possible. They have a brain, as far as I understand, a nervous system. Is that brain complex enough to, you know, have the similar types of processing? But, you know, I guess another thing to think about is, you know, are we observing, you know, as acutely as we should be, you know, organisms that we interact with, let's say, on a very regular basis, right? Like, mm-hmm. for example, chickens or fish, right? I think it seems pretty clear to me that the science kind of confirms that they are sentient, right? And these are animals that are unfortunately routinely, you know, harmed for what sometimes or probably most often turns out to be, you know, for non-necessary reasons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fish for me would be kind of that one on the line where I'm like, I don't know. I'm not sure if fish are sentient or not. Yeah.
There have been studies. Yeah. I can't really get into that right now because we are about 2 minutes from the end of the show. So we're going to have to let you go, Luis. But this conversation was great. We'll appreciate the question. And I think we are definitely in agreement with you that there need to be more conversations and more studies and more science about this.
Yeah. Thanks for taking this call and for your really intelligent engagement on this. I really appreciate that.